This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. Health researchers keep learning lessons from a flu pandemic that struck almost 100 years ago. The flu of 1918 killed 50 million people worldwide, including 600,000 Americans.
The infection spread to about a third of the world's population, an enormous number of people. But it didn't make everyone equally sick. Healthy, young soldiers succumbed to this flu virus, but toddlers and people in their 80s survived it.
Now, researchers from the University of Arizona have published a report that sheds some light on who died from the flu and why. To get a better understanding of the research and how it applies to combating the flu today and in the future, we've turned to health and science journalist Richard Knox. We asked Richard the newest lesson that we're learning about the flu pandemic of 1918.
The virus itself, which had been the focus of a lot of speculation and mystery, may not be the whole story in terms of why some people die at much greater rates than others. And many people thought, well, it must be something about that virus, and we just got to figure out what it was, and that will help us anticipate the next big pandemic, perhaps, if we knew what aspects of the flu virus made it so deadly. This line of research says, no, it's not just the virus. We ought to be paying attention to the flu viruses that people were exposed to when they were kids.
So, in essence, the researchers are saying that we're looking not only at the characteristics of the flu, that flu virus itself, but also the immunity of the population at the time.
That's right, yeah. The greatest mystery, I think, about the 1918 flu was that it selectively killed younger people, young adults, you know, 25, 30, 35. It largely spared elders, and it spared kids 10 to 15, maybe 18. It turns out that when these Arizona researchers did some really detailed analysis of thousands and thousands of flu viruses using a different technique than others have used in the past, and they found that the people who died at in such great numbers, these young adults, had been exposed when they were kids. Their first exposure to the flu virus was to a very different virus called H3N8. The 1918 flu virus was an H1N1. They look very different to the immune system. So there was very little protection, very little sort of residual immunity among these young adults in 1918 because they were seeing a virus that their immune systems didn't recognize very well.
But why did very young people succumb to the 1918 virus?
Because it turns out, and this is another new interesting aspect of this latest research, the kids born after the turn of the 20th century were exposed to a precursor of the H1N1 virus that caused the big pandemic. That wasn't as dangerous as the pandemic virus, but it was close enough that they were protected.
So to quote one of the researchers from the University of Arizona, childhood exposure seems to give kick-ass immunity to that kind of flu virus for many, many decades. What's the lesson for that today, then?
It suggests that if we can figure out what various age groups in the population at any given time have some residual immunity to and what they are vulnerable to, you might design flu vaccines that are specifically targeted to those vulnerabilities. So, you know, if you're worried about an H5N1 flu virus, everybody's been worrying about what would happen if that virus somehow or other acquired the ability to spread easily among humans, and thankfully it hasn't yet. If you could figure out what virus like that people in the current population had been exposed to as kids and what they hadn't been exposed to as kids, then you might design a vaccine that would protect those vulnerable age groups.
So customized vaccines.
Yeah, age customized, really.
So then if you're a parent of a young child and you want your child to develop the greatest possible immunity, when your kid puts his or her mouth on a subway railing, do you just sort of let it happen? Obviously with a little bit of discretion, but is the idea sort of bring on whatever you can so the child will develop a better immune system?
There's not much that individuals, parents or others, can do get your kid exposed at the right window of time to whatever flu virus, to take just that disease, is going to be a problem, you know, 20 or 30 years later, because you don't know. In fact, one of the big lessons out of this research for the 1918 pandemic is that it really was a matter of terrifically bad luck that you had so many young adults going off to war in army camps and so on at the very time when this virus came along that was so unlike anything they'd ever seen before. So you really can't, as an individual, do much to with this with this new information. What it might lead to, though, is scientists thinking more about how to protect different age groups in the population against whatever might come along that hasn't come along in a long time, and customize vaccines that way.
Okay, thank you. Richard Knox, health and science journalist, a story about what we're learning still about the flu from 1918 to help us better handle flu viruses today is at the WBUR Common Health blog. That's commonhealth.wbur.org. You can check it out there. Richard, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.